They're a statement of fact. He's the champion of love. I mean, he loved us and while we were yet sinners. He died for us. His love is not based upon performance or lack thereof. He loves us in spite of us. He loves us because he created us in his image. We are his prize handiwork. He set us apart from all of the other things that he created. And he put his personal touch on it. Shaped us. Breathed into our nostrils life. Empowered us to have dominion over all the creeping and crawling and flying things. And we blew it. But because of that love, he stayed faithful to a mission that he came to planet Earth for, and that was to redeem mankind from their sins. It's a simple message. We complicate it sometimes, but leads me to the question of why do we come to church? Why does anyone go to church? Well, some of the girls go to meet guys and vice versa. Some businessmen go because it's a good place to make business contacts. Some of us go to look good in the social community. We have all sorts of reasons for going. But the reason we should go to church is to collectively and corporately worship and adore the great I Am, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. If he never does another thing, he's worthy of our praise and our adoration and our reverence and our worship. He's worthy of it. We go to church. Hopefully we'll receive something through a song that's sung or a word that a preacher would say to give us encouragement, hope, strength, to give us a little nudge to get on down the road a little further. We go to church. Should be going to church to come into his presence. To come into his presence. And to be strengthened and fortified and edified. For what? For what? So I can feel better? So I can get the goosebumps. So I can say, boy, didn't we have church tonight? No to all of those. It's for the equipping and empowering to walk out of these doors, to go be light in a dark world of darkness, to be salt, to add flavor to life, to be a representative of Jesus Christ, the superstar. To go and to be his witness. To go and be obedient to the things that he would speak. The words to us and from his word. Yet I read in his word where in the last days in which I believe we're part of. He talks about a church that would have a form of godliness but no power. God forbid that open range would ever become like that. You see, I don't want to just go through the motions or the mechanics of the machinery of a religious exercise. I want to come, gather together, be in the presence of God, and have his blessings breathed upon us. His touch upon us. His word spoken to us. So that I'm changed. So that I'm different when I walk out of these doors. So that I can go and be a Christian soldier that fights a fight of faith. So that I can see the power of God demonstrated first of all in my own personal life. And secondly, in the lives of my family and my friends. Because of that, when we come to church, we need to encourage one another. You see, we're not exempt from tests and trials and struggles and problems and issues. Not only are we not exempt, but God's Word tells us while you're in this world, you're going to have those things. It's coming. Count on it. But be of good cheer. He's overcome. Because He's in us. And if I'm getting my orders from Him and my steps are being guided and ordered by the Lord, He's going to take me through the obstacle course, through the minefields. He's going to take me through the enemy lines. There'll be victory on the backside. Praise and testimony that belongs to Him. I want to remind you of this Jesus that we serve. He's the one that in Matthew 28 says, all power in heaven and earth is mine. Not some power, not limited power, but all power. The power to save, the power to heal, the power to deliver, the power to do the miraculous, the power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. The power is His. He makes it available to us. We see in Luke 19:10, His motive. He says, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. His number one mission is the redemption of mankind's soul. Then we see in 1 John 3:8, He said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one, the devil. I want to read a few of those to you. In Luke 4:16, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus had gone into the temple as He normally would do on the Sabbath, and they handed Him the book. And He turned in the prophet Isaiah, and He found the place where it is written, and He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, and He sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon Him, and He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. I'm the one. No need in looking any further. I am the one that Isaiah prophesied about that would come, that the Spirit of the Lord would be upon to do these things. I'm Him. Then He began to go out. See, this is right after the temptations in the wilderness. Then He began to go out and put what He just proclaimed into action. Brings me to our text. Luke chapter 8. As you're turning there, let me set the stage for you. Jesus had just been out on a boat, and He commanded the winds and the waves to obey Him, and they did, and that got the disciples' attention. Then as soon as He gets to shore, they bring to Him a demon-possessed man, and He casts the demons out of him. That got their attention. Then we pick up over in verse 40. That's where I'll begin to read Luke chapter 8, verse 40. It said, so it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed Him, for they were all waiting for Him. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if Jesus was really welcome, in every church of every denomination across America. Every time we assemble together, the people were exciting and waiting for him to show up and to show out. Wouldn't that be something? And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet, and he begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive that power or virtue is going out from me." When the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and fell down before him. And she declared to him in the presence of all of the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And while he was speaking, someone from the ruler of the synagogue's house came, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered and said, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." Let me read that again. Do not be afraid. There's some of you in here tonight that are facing situations where the devil would love to cause fear. The Spirit of the Lord, by his word tonight, would say to you, don't be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in with him except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Pay attention. This is where I want to be. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing she was dead. They laughed at him. I've got news for you. People will laugh at you too when you really stand on the word of God. Anyways, verse 54. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called her, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This really doesn't need any explanation. It's quite simple. But I've heard some preach that he had to put those out of the room that didn't believe. He had to get unbelief out of the room so he could do the miracle. I don't believe that. I see where Jesus was in all kinds of settings, surrounded by unbelief everywhere, yet he still did miracles. What I glean from this passage of Scripture tonight is simply this. He was saying to his disciples, that's you and me. He was saying to his disciples, if you're not going to believe, you're not going to get to see the miracles. If you're going to see the miracles, you're going to have to believe. Believing, faith, trust, these are synonymous with serving Christ. The Word of God simply says this, if any man, say I'm an any man. If any man would be in Christ, he must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Something goes awry from time to time. And like Josh preached a couple of weeks ago about doubting Thomas. If you missed it, you need to get a CD. Tremendous message. A lot of great points in there. And one of the points that just jumped out and has resonated with me for the last 2 weeks is simply this. Doubt and unbelief are not the same things. Doubt is like when doubting Thomas. He really wanted to believe what Jesus said. We really want to believe what God's word says, but sometimes we struggle with it. Unbelief is when we just say, no way. I don't accept that. I don't expect that to be a reality. I will not see that work in my life. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We all struggle from time to time with doubt. One of the disciples prayed, I forget which one it was, but he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You ever felt like that? Man, I have. Whew. I want to stir you tonight. I want to challenge you tonight what the Lord has challenged me with today. And it's raising our expectation level of God that is limitless. Of raising our expectancy, of raising our faith to believe for that thing that seems impossible. To raise our faith for that thing that has been told us by a doctor or a boss or a spouse or you fill in the blank, that it's over. Nothing else can be done. I want you to know that Jesus is the final authority. He has the final say. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Anything he's ever been able to do, he's able to do present tense. And sometimes we need to throw our religious dogma out the window and dare to be like Peter, to get out of the boat and trust God and believe God to show up and show out in my life. I love the example of where the old boy was crippled. Jesus healed him, told him, take your cot and go. Well, they got mad at him because it was the Sabbath. He wasn't supposed to tote that cot. I love when they said, you can't do that. This is the Sabbath. I mean, this guy had to be a cowboy because he said basically, look, the guy that healed me, he told me to get up and take this cot and get on down the road. And that's what I'm going to do. I don't care whether y'all like it or not. It's time some of us get rid of some religious baggage that's holding us back to believe God for the miracles in our life that we need. Listen, if he's not a miracle worker, why do you declare to serve him? Amen. First and foremost, let's make it clear. I try to do this regularly. There is no greater miracle than the miracle of salvation. There is no greater miracle than how a man or a woman is on their way to hell. And because of something Jesus did on Calvary and offers a gift of life for a man or woman to swallow their pride and recognize their need of a Savior and to say, that's me. And to call on the Lord and trust Him as their Savior. Have their sins cleansed. Have the Spirit of God come to reside within them and to change them. And to begin a process. Now, it's an ongoing thing. And for those of you that think you have arrived, you're sadly mistaken. There ain't a person in this room that's exactly like Jesus. But the ultimate goal in this journey each and every day is to be changed, to look more like Him, to think more like Him, to talk more like Him, to act more like Him. If you're not changing, you're not healthy, spiritually speaking. If you're the same person spiritually that you were a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 25 years ago, 35 years ago, if you're the same person now that you were then, you're not spiritually healthy. I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying, get before the Lord. Seek Him. Allow Him to form those convictions in you that you need to have. Allow Him to give you the revelation from His Word that you need. The Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, will lead, guide, and direct into all truths. He'll teach us all things. You see, you got to get in it, though, to see it. You got to get in it to have it revealed to you. You can't just come on Thursday night and expect to grow by what I give you only. Not the way you need to grow. By the way, the next quarter's devotions are out there. Get in those devotions. Those things will help you grow. But get into the Word. I'm going to close with this. This is just a challenge tonight. He says in His Word, this is going to hurt, but you got to love me. He said, as you have believed, so be it done unto you. You have to take ownership of your effort to believe God for things. It's okay to go to other people and to have people pray for you, but there's a time that you've got to stand. You've got to seek. You've got to ask. You've got to believe. You've got to dare to exercise your faith and trust in a God on your behalf. Tonight, I want you to just recognize the fact that your belief, your faith, has everything to do with God either being limited or loosed into your life. I'll close with this. You pray for more faith, and you pray for more faith, and you pray for more faith. Prayer will not get you more faith. God's Word says, faith comes by the Word. You want your faith to grow? There's no shortcuts. There's no alternative ways. Faith comes one way. That's through the Word of God. Get in it. Dig. You say, well, I don't understand it. Keep reading. There'll be some things that you do understand. There's a group of men talking, and Mark Twain, the great author of Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer. They were talking about scriptures. Mark Twain made this statement, and how profound and how true it is even present day. He said, it's not the scriptures that I don't understand that trouble me. It's the scriptures that I do understand and don't do. I had a cowboy down in South Texas not long ago. We were talking about this very thing, and I got a phone call from him. And he says, preacher, I ain't reading the Bible no more. I said, why? He said, I done figured this deal out. The more of it I know, the more of it God's going to expect me to do. I said, well, you have accurately figured that out. Serving God is just that. Serving. It's not sitting back being served. It's serving. Would you bow your heads? Quite simple invitation tonight. Dennis, I'm a Christian. I love God. But I have not been trusting Him and believing Him for the things in my life the way I need to. I've been trying to do it all myself. trying to get someone else to do it. But the simplicity of this message tonight has challenged me to get back to a place of believing God for great things in my life. Not just saying it, but trusting Him. Relying up on Him totally. If that's you, very quickly, no delay, stand to your feet. I want to pray for you. If that's you. Lord, I thank You for the honesty and the integrity of these men and women. And I pray, Lord, that as they make this new commitment to You, that, Lord, that their faith would bring forth fruit. As they're believing You for, they're trusting You in circumstance and situations, the Lord, that You'll supernaturally do what only You can do. Lord, we ask You, help us to not ever become complacent. Help us not ever, Lord, to become lukewarm. Lord, help us to always be a people that believes and trusts You to be able to do anything. For Your word says, is there anything too hard or difficult for My God? No, there's not. Rekindle that fire in our spirit to believe for healing, for deliverance, for provision, for restoration, for salvation, for that wayward family member to be drawn to You, Lord. Help us to believe for the impossible, regardless of what the doctors may say. Lord, help us to believe that our businesses will turn around and that we'll get out of the red and be in the black, not just so that we can have money, but Lord, so that we can support Your work and Your call and do as You would instruct us to do with the money. Lord, we pray for open range as a group of believers that, Lord, that You would speak to us clearly, that You would order our steps, that You would empower us with Your Spirit, that we'd have a sensitivity, God, to the discernment of Your Spirit, that You would do great things through the people of this place for Your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.